Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the context of our service tonight, I'm going to read from the book of Joel, the second chapter. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate it fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests and ministers of the Lord weep and say, spare your people, O God, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they stay among the peoples? Where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending you to grain and wine and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Out of curiosity, how many of you have an iPhone? Has it ever broken on you? You ever have an iPad that kind of goes bonkers and it won't work? Or a computer that you're working and all of a sudden it just flat out locks up. It refuses to operate. So you call the IT guy. If you don't have one of them, you call a friend that's kind of an IT person and you ask them, what shall I do? And what do they tell you? Turn it off. Reboot it. Restart it. You've done this before, haven't you? Does it always work? Well, most of the time. Well, what do you do when that which is not working is not a piece of electronics, but it's actually a person? Can you really reset someone? Can you reboot someone? Can you restart someone? Or can they just simply repent? See, that's what we're really doing here tonight. We kick off this whole Lenten season with Ash Wednesday. It's a night marked by confessing who we really are. Man, the commandments hurt, don't they? It gets a little bit long, I got to tell you. And as I was reading through them in my mind, I was checkmarking the ones that really apply to me. The sins that I commit in my thoughts, in my words, in my deeds. I don't know if you did the same thing. But tonight's all about remembering who we are. As we wrestle through them commandments, ultimately to confess that we are not living the life that God calls us to live. And that we break God's commandments daily. But there's really much more than that. There's 1,000 times more reasons that you and I sin. And none of them are good. Yet we try to make them sound acceptable. For example, if I sin or fall short, well, Pastor, everybody else is doing it. The government says it's okay. I don't see any laws against it. So what's the problem with you, you antiquated old man? And while our excuses might fool other people, they're not fooling yourself. And ultimately, they will never fool God. See, the people of Joel's day, the text I just read, they had to learn that the hard way. See, they were enduring a very long-lasting plague, and the crops were terrible. God had wiped out literally everything that these people held close to their hearts, things they trusted in, and things that they loved. God took all of it away. Why? Because he hated them? No, he wanted them to fear, love, and trust in him above all other things. And then he sent the prophet Joel to tell him to repent. He says, return to the Lord your God. In other words, reset your faith. Reboot. Start over. Joel then told them how. Here's how you're going to repent. First, it's about fasting, it's about weeping, it's about mourning, it's about rending your hearts, not your garments. See, that's a good start. And please, by all means, stop clinging to the wrong things and the things of this world. And please, for all things, cling to God and Him alone. So how do you do it? Well, fasting, weeping, mourning, and renting your heart. He also told them who should do it. You'll like this. Elders, children, nursing infants, newlyweds, priests, ministers. He doesn't have pastors, but pastors. No one is excluded. All of us are to repent and stop making lame excuses. No one is above repentance. No, not even one. Then Joel told them where to repent. He says, between the vestibule and the altar. Do you have one of those at your house? Do you have an altar set up and a vestibule? See, Joel's talking about church. He's literally telling the people, go to the synagogue, go to church. There's where you repent. There's where you will receive holy absolution. That's how it is done. And then Joel told them why. Because the Lord is, get this, gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's pretty awesome. He does all that for us? Are you kidding me? He can actually love people who confess their sins a moment ago, but He still has all this steadfast and abounding love for us. So what did the people of Joel's day do? They repented. And guess what? The Lord had pity upon them. And He was merciful. See, God disciplines His people and punished them in the same way that He punishes us. Not because He has this sadistic desire to see people squirm, but because of His great love for us. But that's not who God is and what He wants to do. He wants to simply shower His love and His blessings upon us. The gifts Christ freely gives. Kind of a weird hymn for Lent, isn't it? The gifts Christ freely gives? How does that fit, Pastor? Well, it's really the whole theme of the sermon. God has gifts to give. The problem is, we don't want to receive them. It's like someone giving you a Christmas present, and you said, before you even unwrap it, no thanks. I got plenty of stuff at home. I don't really need that. See, the problem is, we don't always want to receive it. That's how much sin has messed us up. God, a gracious God who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, wants to shower us with His gifts, and we literally turn our nose up at it. That's why we need to repent and receive again what the Lord actually wants to give us. Forgiveness. And as the Lord was merciful to His people in Joel's day, and so He is merciful to you and I here tonight. For this whole season of Lent isn't about us trying to earn God's forgiveness. Put all that away. It'll never work. You can't do enough. And it's certainly not about what we do or what we give up. As if somehow I can muster a little bit of God's love, or at least I go, yo, I'm over here. You can love me now. It's not about that. Lent is about receiving the gifts that Christ died to give. And the people of Joel's day had to ask, well, who knows whether He will not return and relent and leave a blessing behind them? They were literally asking the question, He's made all these promises, but I don't really know. Is He going to leave this stuff? He's going to give us blessings? I don't know. They had to ask because God was punishing them. He was disciplining them, and that might not have gone so well for them. So they begin to ask the question, will God really bless us? But it's not a question that we have to ask about forgiveness now, do we? We're post-cross. We know all about what happened on Calvary, that this man named Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world, and that He died in our place, and by His shed blood, all of our sins are forgiven. We know that as a fact. See, because God promised to forgive all who repent and trust in Him, all who believe in Him, and the promise of the Savior, guess what? are forgiven. Well, the problem is Paul was talking about, I didn't read the text tonight from Corinthians, he told the church there that they were to be reconciled to God. And this is how he put it. He says that for our sake, God the Father made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. It's kind of like grabbing the Corinthians by the scruff of the neck and shaking them up a bit and says, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? See, Jesus became a sinner that you may become righteous. No, I didn't say Jesus sinned. I said he became a sinner. He took upon his flesh your sin, your transgressions, all those commandments that we so willfully said, hey, I've done this, Pastor. I've broken God's commandments. Jesus died for every last one of them. He was punished, and you were forgiven. It wasn't like you got away with it. But Jesus took upon himself all of your punishment for the sins that you willingly commit. He died for you that you may have life. Don't receive this grace in vain, I'm telling you. Don't do it. Don't receive the gifts that Christ died to give in vain. It's not something you want to mingle with. So how does one do that, Pastor? How do you receive the gifts of God in vain? Well, here's a few ways. Try this one. By receiving grace and forgiveness of God and then going out and sinning as if nothing had ever happened. I'm just going to like role play. Yeah, Pastor said I was forgiven, but you know, nothing happened. I'm going to live life as I want to live it. It doesn't matter. That's someone who takes the gifts that Christ died to give in vain. Here's another one. By thinking that grace of God means receiving forgiveness so that I can go back and sin some more. The disciples tried this one, by the way. So we sin all the more so that grace may abound? Like if we really sin a lot and you forgive us a lot, that means you love us more than everybody else. And that's taking the gifts that Jesus Christ died to give in vain. Here's another one. Or when you act as if forgiveness is not a gift at all. In other words, that you still must earn God's favor. That somehow you must win your way back into His good graces. And that's taking God's grace and His mercy in vain. That's not really what it's all about, though. You see, that's not right thinking or right acting at all as a Christian. But we do these things all the time, don't we? Oh yeah, we'll say we don't, but perhaps tonight as we gather in this place on Ash Wednesday, we diligently repent of what we have done. But the reality is, there are times we must admit that we do treat God's gifts in vain. And I think the last one is particular temptation, especially during the Lenten season. We think that this season is about doing something for Jesus. Really? So what can you do? What do you do to earn God's grace and mercy? What do you have to pay for free grace? That God would like you more or forgive you more if you prayed more? That makes no sense at all. But really, how could God forgive us more? Is there some way that God can somehow forgive more sins than I could ever commit? No, He has forgiven all of them. He's already atoned for the sins of the whole world. Dear friends, it's not about earning salvation. Put that away. It's about simply receiving as a beggar receives a gift from a patron who comes by. Simply placing my hands out to receive God's grace and mercy for my salvation. And then, maybe, we do also want others to see, right? Pastor, if I do this stuff, like other people will see it. And that's pretty cool. Dear friends, if that's your motivation, don't do it. Your right hand should not know what your left hand is doing. And your salvation is not based upon what others think of you. It's based upon faith in Jesus Christ. And through that flows acts of mercy and righteousness by being who you are according to Christ. Well, most of you, if not all of you, perhaps maybe even fast. perhaps even on occasion, and I like to think you like to fast for Thanksgiving, and hear me out, not for the main meal, but have you ever skipped like breakfast because or lunch because you knew the Thanksgiving dinner was coming? It's coming, and I just don't want to be too filled up because I know it's coming, and I want to celebrate, and I want to savor every single bite of that meal. Because I know of this big feast, I'm not going to fill myself up with little stuff beforehand. And when you do that, you don't look all sad and gloomy. You're happy. Why? Because I'm going to gather with my family and my friends, and I am going to celebrate. This is going to be awesome. Well, think of your Lenten discipline that way. Why do we give alms? Not to be seen by other people. Jesus made that clear. To earn God's approval, the scriptures make that clear. But because we know that God has blessed us with the heavenly treasure, and we are excited to share it with those around us too who are in need. And our Father will provide for all that we need, just as He promised. So what do we pray? Not to be seen by others or to earn God's approval, but simply because we have a Father who has promised to hear us and to answer all of our prayers. And there are so many around us that need our prayers. At Thanksgiving, the whole family's there. And our voices are caught up with them as we pray to our Heavenly Father in thanksgiving for all that He has given. And our Father rewards us. Not because of what we do, but because when we do these things in this way, our faith is in the right place. It is not in ourselves or in others, but in our Father in heaven, because we're trusting in Him, in His Word, and His promises that He has made. But for all our wrong thinking, and for all of our wrongdoing and our failure to do it, each year, our Heavenly Father calls us out to reset, to reboot, and to repent. And tonight, above all nights, it's like, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes upon the cross of Calvary and all that Christ has done for you there. Your sins, I'm not talking some of them, I'm talking all of them are forgiven. Why? Because of His work. We simply rejoice in the gifts that God freely gives. So we begin this penitential season tonight. And it's good to do so each year. To reset, to restart, and to reboot, and to repent, to confess who we are, what we have done. But more importantly, to fix our eyes upon Jesus as we look forward to that Easter celebration of the Lord's Supper and all the hallelujahs return and all that joy is there. It's like Thanksgiving dinner with all my family and friends. And so tonight we rejoice still in what Jesus has done on our behalf. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.